feel the promise. You'll bear me body.
Good morning and welcome to New Life Church. Would you stand and worship with us?
Yes, I will. Come let us adore. stay in that posture of prayer. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we praise you. We exalt you. You are great, far above anything else. So God, as we gather here together this morning, we want to offer you our thanks. We want to bring all that has happened, all that we have been in this past week, good or bad. We bring it all here before you, God. And we pray that you redeem us, that you renew us, that you refresh us, so that we can exalt you in this next week, that we can glorify your name in whatever we do, in whoever we are. And so, God, receive our thanks and our praise, our worship to you. You are holy. In Jesus' name we pray. In this next song, we're going to invite you to bring your offering forward. You can place that in the basket or in the boxes here at the stage. Or if you are with us through the live stream, then you can give electronically. You can give electronically here as well. The screen will show you how. And our offering this morning is for our missionaries that we support. We declare God's goodness and his salvation to all people here from this place, but we extend that throughout the world by supporting missionaries, and we have currently we're supporting four of them. Here they are. Fred Ficktree is traveling around in the Middle East and connecting with people there. Fernando Trevino runs a ministry in Bogota, Colombia. Fernando, in fact, has just confirmed that he will be with us here in October, first week of October. And so we're looking forward to that. Eve Pohl has just returned from Ethiopia and working with Hope for Cora. We heard from her last week. And the Barnhorns, John Barnhorn is doing work with Wycliffe. And they've recently come from Nigeria after having lived several years in Nigeria. And they've moved back to Ontario, and we want to continue to support them as they also continue to work with Wycliffe in Bible translation. And so you're invited to give for that work and in praise to our God.
This song may be new to some, so I encourage you, I'd like you to stay standing if you could, and it's just got such rich words. So as you bring your offering, just soak in these words, and if you're comfortable, sing along when you're familiar. What love could remember, no wrongs we have done. Omniscient, all-knowing, he counts not their sum. Thrown into the sea without bottom or shore. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. What patience would wait as we constantly run. What Father so tender is calling us home. He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Darkness new every morn. Our sins.
of kindness He lavished on us. His blood was the payment, His life was the cost. We stood beneath the debt we could never afford. My sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord. Sing that one more time. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. You're stronger than darkness, it's new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy.
Seated.
Welcome. Welcome to church this morning. Thank you, worship team. That was awesome. My name is Kevin DeWold. I'm happy to be your service host today. If you're wondering, why is he wearing a safety vest up here? It's a good question. And if you're a service host, you think, oh, do I have to wear a safety vest up here too? Is it hazardous to be a safety or to be a service host? No, it's not the case. I double booked myself this morning, I realize. I'm actually doing parking lot patrol right now as well. So I apologize if any of you go out to your vehicle and you find it's broken into. It's probably happening right now. So I'll try and make this quick and sweet, short and sweet, and get out there. A special welcome to our guests as well, whether you are in person here or whether you're online. Welcome. We're happy to have you here. And our aim is to help you connect in community. So if you are a guest, we invite you to fill out one of our Connect cards. And if you're in person here, you can find them around the seats around you, and you can fill it out, and you can drop it in either in the collection boxes here after the service, or there's a box by the info booth as well in the lobby. And if you are online this morning, the online host will send a link in the comments section that you can fill out. Announcements. Well, our last week of Superhero Park Days at Dillard Park is coming on August 8th to 11th. And we're inviting you to spend a morning with us from 10 to 12 with our local Del Air community. Activities will be set up, but we cannot be successful without you. We need your help. And you'll be surprised at the connections that you can make. The previous week in July at Del Air Park, we met folks that are new to the Del Air area, which is our local area here, who are looking for a church community to connect with. We met grandparents who brought their grandkids and kids from daycare just looking for new friends. So this is us as a New Life community serving the community around us. But also our community serves us by these connections. So it'll make our park days a success if you are there. We need people of all ages and all walks of life. It'll be awesome, the more people that we can have there. So if you can make it between 10 to 12 on any or all of those days, even if you only can come for one of those days, it'd be great. Between August 8th to 11th, please join us at Del Air Park, just down the road to the east here. Lost and found items that we've been hanging on to for some time. We have a table set up in the lobby. So please go by and check to see if anything's missing there. Maybe you left behind your sweatshirt or your glasses or your pillow or blanket or maybe your Speedos. I don't know why, but check out the table. We're clearing it all out tomorrow, and all the items will be donated away. So it's your last chance to get those items back. Kids dismissal. During our fellowship time that's coming up, parents can bring their 3 to 5 year old children to Little Lights through the door on my left here. Children in grades 1 to 5, we invite you to stay in the auditorium today, but you can grab an activity pack from the treasure box that's here on stage just that corner there. So these packets are designed to help kids and maybe, you know, kids at heart as well, to engage in the rest of the service as Pastor Nathan presents his message on God the Teacher. Kids, just make sure that you leave everything in your activity bag and that can be reused, and just bring it back after the service. So now we're going to start our 3-minute fellowship time. Please extend the peace of Christ to one another. Pastor Nathan is preaching about God the Teacher today, so tell someone, maybe, about your favorite teacher experience. There has to be one. Or if you see your favorite teacher in the room, say hello to him or her and say, I remember you. You're the best. All right? Enjoy.
Quieter this morning. Hey, welcome again to New Life, and glad you're here. This is great to be together. We are wrapping up our series of messages called The Master's Hand, and we've been looking at ways in which God reveals himself to us, in particular in ways that we can identify with, because it's the kinds of things that we do or the kinds of things that we are. So we took a look at, for instance, God the gardener. Not that God is only a gardener, but that he reveals himself in ways that we go, oh, that's like being a gardener. And so several other things. This morning, we want to take a look at God the teacher. And so this is going to be a bit of a classroom setting this morning. When you entered this place this morning, then you received a sheet of paper. And I had one here too, God the Teacher lesson plan. So if you want to pull that out, it's going to be a classroom experience here this morning. And you are required to take notes. If you want to. But that's your opportunity here this morning. So, how many here are teachers, like professional teachers? The rest of them are on vacation. You know, I looked at the membership roll this past week, and I counted well over 20 people, like probably about 25 people in this congregation who are teachers. Like, they do that as their profession. That's a pretty significant number, I would say. 25 teachers in this congregation. Now, on the other hand, all of us teach at some point or other, less formally perhaps. But as parents, we teach our children. Maybe as friends, we teach other friends various things, maybe not always good things. But we all have an experience of teaching and certainly of being taught. So this morning, we're going to take a look at God the teacher. Now, the first thing we need to recognize is that God is a teacher. Not just that he's like a teacher, but he is a teacher. In the Gospel of John, John chapter 13, we get the story of Jesus gathering his disciples in the upper room for a Last Supper before he's going to be crucified. And there, after having walked in, all of the disciples have walked in, they've traveled a dusty path. Jesus refreshes the disciples by cleaning or wiping their feet. And this is what Jesus says at the end of that episode. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked his disciples. "You call me," John chapter 13, verse 13, "you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet." So, if you turn to your lesson plan, so teachers in a formal setting, which we call school, I discovered this quite late in life, actually, that teachers have a lesson plan. I just always assumed that they just walked into the classroom and just started teaching. But no, they have a lesson plan. I think I discovered this when my sisters went to college and trained to be teaching, and they started talking about having to prepare lesson plans and all this kind of stuff. And so a lesson plan lays out what is it that you want to teach. So the first thing is a lesson title. So, what would be a lesson title for God the teacher? What's he trying to teach us? Well, I think a good lesson title would be How to Know God and Live. Really Live. Because, you see, we have Scripture that isn't just a rule book. It's not just a book telling us, follow this step, follow this rule, follow this technique, and you'll be able to have a good life. No, the whole reason we have Scripture is because God wants to reveal himself, to teach us who he is. And so God's lesson plan might be entitled, How to Know God and Really Live. Because really living isn't just a matter of following rules. It's about knowing God. It's about living in Christ. Paul talks a lot about that. In terms of shaping our lives, not simply around rules, but shaping our lives by living in Christ. To live in God is to really live. That requires acknowledging that Jesus is our teacher, not just a teacher, but our teacher, my teacher. Now, the other parts of the lesson plan in terms of the next three pieces, grade level, subject matter, amount of time needed, well, God's an amazing teacher, no doubt professional, an expert. Not limited, probably, by grade levels. Doesn't really matter what age you are. Subject matter doesn't really limit. I mean, on the one hand, we could say, well, his subject level is, or subject area is God, which we would call theology, but God's lesson involves much more than that. It's not just a matter of knowing Jesus. Jesus said, I have come so that you might have life and to have life abundantly. That is God's subject area, to have life abundantly. And generally, the amount of time needed for God's lesson is an entire lifetime. Some of us catch on earlier, some of us catch on later, but God's lesson lasts for a lifetime. Always learning. God is your teacher. So what does his lesson look like? How would we describe this lesson? Now, I checked briefly with a trained teacher to make sure I covered these right, but if you are a teacher, you could probably quite easily pick apart my contributions to this lesson plan. But from what I understand in terms of what it means to fill out a description of the lesson, I have three things. In the first place, students will sit at God's feet in this lesson. They will sit at God's feet. It sounds simple enough, I suppose, but absolutely critical. If you think about it, we live our lives occupied by many different things. In fact, ask anybody, hey, how you doing? A likely answer will be, oh, so busy, so busy, right? So we're preoccupied with so many things. But at the heart of God's lesson, simply to sit at God's feet, that is something that we need to learn. Psalm 25 is a psalm that characterizes God as a teacher in the context of all kinds of opposition in life, all kinds of distractions, temptations, oppressions, enemies, and all of that kind of stuff. And in that context, Psalm 25 presents God the teacher. Here's just two verses. We'll look at some other verses in a moment. But Psalm 25, verse 4 and 5, show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. little later on in verse 15, the psalmist says, "My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare." My eyes are ever on the Lord. I mean, that's what every good teacher wants. To be able to be in the classroom with all eyes on the teacher. Why? Because it represents focus. It represents attention. Students will sit at God's feet. There's something about that kind of proximity. When you live your life, I mean, it's one thing to acknowledge God's a teacher. And then it's easy to imagine, yeah, but he's a teacher in another school, right? He's just a teacher far away. He's just abstractly just a teacher. But when he's my teacher, then that changes your life. I mean, imagine, right, when you first entered school, I suspect one of the most important things was getting to know your teacher. Right? To know your teacher, to trust your teacher, to maybe even love your teacher, to know what your teacher expects. That requires sitting at the teacher's feet. When God is your teacher, it requires that you sit at God's feet, that you come before him, that you come into his presence. That's what we're doing right here this morning. That's what you do each day when you say, "Oh, I've got a busy day, but I'm just going to take some time and sit at the teacher's feet, prepare myself for the day." Because there's all kinds of other distractions. But sitting under God's lesson is about focus, paying attention to the teacher. A second description of the lesson might be that students will test their patience and endurance. Yes, in the midst of all of life's distractions, attractions, and temptations and oppositions, God's lesson is a test in patience and endurance. In Psalm 25, there's a close connection between putting your hope in God and exercising this kind of patience, this kind of forbearance. Verse 4, "Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." All day long. Pressing into God as the hope of your life, even when everything else is going wrong. Even when everything else is falling apart. Even when we're afraid, even when we're uncertain, even when we're disturbed, my hope is in you all day long. It's one of the lessons that God is teaching us, to keep our hope in God, to endure. It's a sense of persistence. It's a long road of learning. We don't always catch on right away. We don't always understand even what God the teacher is up to. But we endure because our hope is in God. A third thing is that students will be following the leader. It's a critical part of the lesson. To learn to follow. We live in a day and age where leadership is trumped up as the primary thing of a good existence. And we live in an age that's individualistic, focused on ourselves. Everyone is a leader, we say. That makes it hard to follow. We also live in a day and age where we have so many resources, we can do whatever we want. Whatever we decide, we can go for it. Because we have so much available to us. That makes following very difficult. God's lesson is about following the leader. Again, Psalm 25 is instructive. Good and upright is the Lord, in verse 8. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. Now, pay attention. He instructs who? People who've got it made? People who are leaders? No, he instructs sinners. In other words, we need to know ourselves in order to know God. In God's lesson, he's teaching us about himself, to know God so that we can know ourselves. And that requires following God. You need to ask yourself that question as you live your life, as you go about living your life. What is it, or who is it, that I'm following? Who is it? Do I have the kind of attention to follow? Do I have the kind of focus to follow? Verse 9, he guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. He guides the humble, not the arrogant, not the people who think they have it all together. God's a great teacher. And he can teach anybody. But he teaches those who are humble. God instructs those who fear him. Verse 12. Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways that they should choose. It's an issue of reverence. Those who fear the Lord. I remember one of my favorite teachers was when I was in grade 5 and 6. And we had the same teacher both years. And I remember he was brand new to the school in 5th grade. And at the time, we would, in the morning, we'd get to school and we'd all be outside. And then we'd have to line up on the steps getting into the school, and grade by grade. And the teachers would stand at the top of the steps there. And I remember, it's like, who's our new teacher? Oh, it's that guy. And he had the sternest look on his face. It was frightening. And we all, as we gathered, right, my buddies and I were all in the line and so on, and we're like, oh, we're in trouble. This guy's going to be hard. This guy's going to be mean. And I think he did it on purpose, because as it turned out, throughout the years that we had him as a teacher, he was the friendliest guy. But I think he presented himself in a way that instilled a fear, a reverence for the teacher, that ended up being very instructive for us. God teaches those who fear him. There's that kind of reverence. But not to create distance. Because in verse 14 of chapter 25, Psalm 25, it says, the Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Those who fear God, those who sit at God's feet, those who recognize God's great authority and power, those are the ones that God confides in to say, hey, let me in. Let me in. I want to confide in you. I want to be your friend. That's That's how friendship with God is sustained. Not by being chummy with God so that we get to do whatever we want, but to have that kind of reverence for God that is fostered by submitting to Him, sitting at God's feet day by day to say, God, you are not just a teacher, but God, you are my teacher. I submit to you. Teach me. Teach me. I want to learn. I want to live life and live it abundantly. Teach me. So that's a description of the lesson. Students will sit at God's feet. Students will test their patience and endurance. Students will be following the leader. What does God seek to accomplish in all of that? Those are the lesson objectives in God's lesson plan. The lesson objectives. Again, three of them. The first is simply to know the foundations of life, the essentials of life. Psalm 25, show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. If you don't show me, God, if you're not the teacher, nobody else can teach me. Why? Because the teacher, God himself, is the creator. He's the one who put everything together. He knows the ways the best. He knows the essentials. Sit at God's feet, and you will learn all of God's ways, all of the essentials. This is almost like the heart of the matter. So I remember being in college, and I was preparing to enter into seminary. I knew I wanted to become a pastor. I majored in philosophy, which was sometimes rather dry. The exciting part about going to college was being able to take electives. Not because I needed them for the degree, not because they were required, but simply out of my own interest. Sometimes I could just sit in a class, take in the information and go, that's interesting. Cool. Walk away, and then that was it. And then you get a grade, and you pass, and it's like, phew, helped my GPA. But when God is your teacher, there are no electives. There's no opportunity simply to take in information and go, whatever. I'm not going to do anything with that. In God's lesson plan, the objective is to teach you that in everything there is purpose, God's purpose. God has ordained everything. He has put everything together, and everything glorifies God. That is the way of our life, that everything glorifies God. Everything is essential. Teach me your ways, Lord. A second objective for God's lesson is to identify as a follower of Jesus. You're his disciple. Now, maybe that gets a little bit lost on us, but in the context of ancient times, when Scripture was written, particularly in Jesus' time, that system of disciples was common, was well known. That Jesus was a teacher. And in those days, teachers were called in Hebrew rabbis. And a rabbi would only take on disciples if a person came to them and said, can I be your disciple? And if the rabbi knew the person, knew the family, thought that there was some potential in this person, the rabbi would decide, yeah, maybe. Or, No, you can't be my disciple. See, and the startling thing is that when Jesus began his ministry, he didn't wait for people to come to him to ask to be disciples. He called out people. And they were people who had already been, like, dismissed. It was like, no, that person doesn't have any potential. And that's the person that Jesus went to and said, follow me. In other words, be my disciple. See, Jesus turned it upside down. So that as a teacher, he didn't carry his authority in an arrogant way. But he himself became humble and went to the lowest of the low and said, follow me. And that's what Jesus seeks to do with you and I. He wants us to follow him, to be his disciples. You don't have to prove it. You don't have to prove your worth to be a follower of Jesus. Simply hear his call and respond. To become like him. That was Jesus' point when he washed the feet of the disciples. He said, you call me Lord and teacher, and that is what I am. But now that you've seen me as a teacher and as the master serving you, go and do likewise. That's following. That's discipleship. That's what it means to make God not just a teacher, but your teacher. To follow. To know foundations, to identify as a follower, and to commit to submission. To submit to God. That's admittedly a hard thing to do. To submit to God. Always and everywhere. To submit means to kneel down, to bow down before God, to sit at God's feet. That's surrender. Letting go of self-interest in order to stay focused on God. Seeking him. And seeking his ways, being taught by him. See, when we go to school, college, university, when we enter that kind of formal system of education, it's for a particular aim. It's, right? I mean, the common questions, probably one of the most frustrating questions a teacher could have. Do we have to learn this? Will this be on the exam? Because we're so oriented to whether it's useful for us or not. God's objective in teaching us isn't simply that it's useful for us. It's that it restores our very nature of who God made us to be. It's not just that we get something out of it. It's that we have life and life more abundantly when God is our teacher. That requires submission. Not because we'll get something out of it, but simply because we know that God is our maker. We are his creatures, and to live most abundantly is to submit to him. That's the very heart of God as the teacher. The description of his lesson, the objectives of his lesson. In a lesson plan, a teacher needs to be aware that in terms of grade level, I suppose, the teacher needs to be aware of what do the students already need to know in order to grasp my lesson. that I'm going to teach today. Those are called prerequisites. I remember in college looking at the college calendar and going, oh, which courses should I take? And the courses that would appeal to me often had prerequisites that I hadn't taken yet. Be like, no, can't take it. Ah, so disappointing. In God's lesson, when God's the teacher, I don't think there are any prerequisites. But here's the thing. We have a lot of preconceived notions of God. We have a lot of ideas about God that simply aren't true. One of the biggest notions, I think, that we have of God, probably in direct opposition to God as a teacher, is that God is our magician. We look at God as though he can just simply do stuff for us. Not as a teacher, but as a magician. God, make this go good. God, do this for me, please. I'll do this if you do that. And we think God's just at our beck and call. God is the teacher. This is an important aspect of understanding who God is. Because in ancient times even, there were other gods. Well, we have other gods as well. We just don't admit it. But in biblical times, cultures had gods that they would fashion out of, making images, wood, and so on. And in those cultures, gods weren't teachers. They didn't think of gods as teachers. They simply saw gods as powerful figures that you had to appease, that you had to figure out ways in which to please them in order to get what you want. And so the amazing thing about Scripture is that God presents himself not as a God that you never know what he's up to, but God reveals himself in terms of what he's up to, in what he's after, and how he's shaping a people for himself. God the teacher. As teacher and Lord or master, God instructs us and shapes us to reflect more and more of his image. He wants us to know him. He's not a God of surprise. He's not a God that says, you never know what I'm up to. God wants us to know him so that we can be like him as we are made in his image. Now, lesson plans have as well. They have materials needed, the textbooks, probably the Bible. The classroom is a whole wide world, and God needs a class. He needs people. But if we're going to learn, we need other people as well. And so God makes sure those materials are available to us. So when God's our teacher, we learn not only from God, but from one another. Another reason why we're here together this morning. And then, at least in the lesson plan template that I used, there's one last item, and it's called teacher preparation or teacher prep. What does the teacher need to prepare in order to accomplish this lesson for the students? So here's a curious thing. Does God ever need to prepare? I'm sure he does. One of the things that he does prepare is our own hearts. Recognizing that left to ourselves, we wouldn't pay attention to God. So God prepares our hearts. Long before he begins teaching us a lesson, God has already shaped us, molded us, and prepared us to receive his teaching. then maybe God prepares object lessons. Now, I was told years ago by my teacher sisters that object lessons for kids actually don't really work. Because kids don't make the analogy between an object and some abstract principle. The reason object lessons work is because they work for adults, and adults are pleased when they say, "Oh, see, that's clear to me. I'm sure it's clear to the kids." But I think God uses object lessons. In fact, I know he does. We read about it, John chapter 13. Jesus uses an object lesson. He washes the disciples' feet. What's that about? Well, in part, it's about Jesus' own humility. He saw a need, and he stooped down, and he cleansed the disciples' feet. But is that the whole purpose of Jesus washing the disciples' feet? No. Because at the conclusion of it, he uses that episode, that action, as a lesson to teach what Jesus is ultimately up to. As the disciples follow him into the Garden of Gethsemane on that dark night, and they're afraid, and they're wondering if Jesus even knows what he's doing. And the disciples are nervous. And then Jesus is betrayed, and then he's put on trial, and then he's put up on a cross, and then he dies. And the disciples are left wondering, except they have this object lesson. Wait a minute. Jesus washed our feet, and then he said to us, "Go do likewise." Not just in terms of washing other people's feet, but in terms of serving. Serving was the lesson that Jesus was trying to teach his disciples, because that was the very thing that Jesus himself was about to do, was to serve humanity in bringing salvation into the world through his death and his resurrection. And so Jesus instructs his disciples, "You're willing to call me teacher and Lord. And as Lord and teacher, do like I do. Serve your neighbors." Now, here's the thing. I suspect that if God's my teacher, I'm going to be willing to wash my master's feet. But that's not the lesson. The lesson is, go and wash the feet of others. That is a harder thing to do. We're willing to wash the feet of the master because, well, that might have some dignity to it in terms of reputation. Hey, I serve the master. But Jesus' lesson is not to serve him, but to serve others and thereby serve. See, it's relatively easy to call God the master. Perhaps a little harder to say that God is the teacher. And perhaps the hardest of all, to say that God is my teacher. That's the endeavor that we're involved in. As we live our lives for God, that every day of our lives we make him my teacher, sitting at his feet, being his disciple, following him, even when we stubbornly think this isn't going to work, this isn't a good way, this isn't going to put me ahead. But humbly we bow before our teacher. It requires childlikeness, childlike attitudes, childlike faith, maybe because children learn the best. And so as disciples, we submit to God, the teacher. Let's pray that God would equip us to do that. Let's pray together. Almighty God, thank you that you are our teacher. Our teacher and the master of our lives. And so God, we sit here this morning. We acknowledge that you are teacher and master. Give us the humility, God, to make you our teacher, our master. Prepare our hearts, Father, to hear your teaching. And so instruct us, day by day, moment by moment. Have mercy on us, O God, when things are difficult, or when we become stubborn. But God, show us your faithfulness and keep on entering our lives to teach us what it means to really live. Thank you. Thank you that as your students, you seek to confide in us, to relate to us, to be our friend and teacher. We praise you for your goodness. We praise you for your wisdom, for your knowledge. And so God, help us to live more like you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Joy, unending joy. I
When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I love. How you serve, I serve. This life I lose, I will follow. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow. Who you love, I love. Who you serve, I serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you.
Go into this week sitting at the feet of God the teacher and hear Jesus' words. As I have washed you, go and do likewise, serving one another, because I am your teacher, your master. And so in submission, give your life to God and live for him, because Jesus gives you life and life abundantly. Go in his grace, go in his mercy, go in his peace. Amen. You're dismissed.